Track 3. Writer DJ Taylor has found inspiration for his latest collection of short stories set in Norfolk in the most unlikely places.
Finding treasures in the everyday. Buying fish for his dinner from the market, chatting to the taxi driver on the way home from the station, or eavesdropping on the conversations of passers-by outside a coffee shop. These seemingly mundane everyday activities delight and inspire the writer DJ Taylor, reminding him of the treasures to be found in ordinary lives and how important it is for him to be at home in Norfolk. "It's the greatest place on earth," he says. "There's nowhere else like it. It's the sense of community, of knowing people and being known. When I go into Norwich for a couple of hours, I expect to see three or four people I know. That's very comforting." Whether he spies friends, family or strangers, David has taken to imagining lives of Norfolk residents in short stories. His latest collection, called Poppyland, was published in June and features characters he believes are both distinct to Norfolk and universal. Holidaymakers in Cromer and Hunstanton, families on the housing ladder in Norwich Estates, minicab drivers dealing with a new boss and struggling toy shop owner, ordinary people trying to find their way in the world while struggling with monotony, hardship, relationship breakdown and general decline. There's humour amid the melancholy and the extraordinary within the banality of their existence. It struck me that Norfolk could be a place of dazzling weirdness and significance as well as being mundane and ordinary, David says, and acknowledges how he's been inspired by one of his favourite writers, Annie Proulx, who celebrated the unique, eccentric individuals living in the empty prairies of Wyoming. A lot of research for Poppyland was just hanging around the market, listening to the stallholders chat, he says, and relishes giving examples of a Norfolk turn of phrase, saying such as, "What are you like when you've just made a mistake?" and "Reckon I will when someone's prepared to do a task for you." There are also the loaded comments and understatement of snatched conversations which have sparked his imagination. He recalls coming across two women, one saying to the other with passion and venom, "I hate Wednesdays." Or an elderly woman pushing a shopping trolley who stops to tell an old man with a bike, "I'm a widow now," and them both continuing their way, nothing more being said. There's a complexity there, David says, and it belies the simplicity of what has been said. He believes we haven't lost the old ways in Norfolk so much as other parts of the country, but it's diminishing. In his short stories, he's hoping to celebrate what is still present while also mourn the passing of what has disappeared. He has plenty of material to draw on, not just from his people-watching fascination, but also a long association with the city. A member of his family has been employed by Norwich Union, now Aviva, for more than 100 years, from 1920 until 2022, when David's brother retired, and his father, John Taylor, was the cherished presenter of the weekly Radio Times programme on BBC Radio Norfolk for many years. David is keen to relate his memories to the stories they have inspired. Moving On is set on the Earlham estate where his father grew up, and David's childhood love of Airfix models fueled his story of the toy shop, based on Langley's in the Royal Arcade in Norwich. Some of the dialogue in the book is lifted from conversations he's overheard. "There was a review of Poppyland in the Financial Times," he says, "and a friend of mine, 2 years above me at school, wrote to me saying he was itching to read the book, and he said, 'Will I recognise anyone?'" David has spent all his life in Norwich, apart from an interlude when he was studying in Oxford and forging his career in London. He and his wife, the novelist Rachel Hoare, felt Norwich was a more attractive option for raising their young family. There was space and freedom for their three sons in a large family home off the Newmarket Road, and cousins and grandparents nearby. "I think Rachel probably found it a little odd to begin with," says David. "Whenever she thought she'd made a new friend, that person would say, 'I know your mother-in-law,' or 'I went to school with your sister-in-law.' There was a sense of her being monitored. For me, I had this slightly ghostly feeling of I've been away, I've come back, I've changed, and it's changed." In his ability to know the area well from childhood, with all its associations, while also being slightly removed, an objective observer that adds another dimension to his stories. They're great fun to write, he says. I love putting words on the page. They just pour out. Within 4 months, I had 60,000 words of short stories. His career is defined by the proliferation of his work. As a journalist and literary critic, he regularly contributes reviews, articles and even parodies for Private Eye, as well as having a dozen novels to his name. Trespass was longlisted for the Booker Prize, and 12 works of non-fiction. He's possibly best known, and certainly in East Anglia, for his acclaimed studies on George Orwell, most recently publishing Orwell, The New Life in 2023, and Who is Big Brother? A Reader's Guide to George Orwell in 2024. Apart from spending time with my wife and family, watching Norwich City and listening to music, writing is really all there is, he says. Some people want to be engine drivers, some want to be professional footballers. I always wanted to write a novel and to do it as soon as possible to show that I can do it. There's nothing else I really wanted to do quite as much. So, at his first job on a magazine, he completed his task with time to spare and filled the rest of the working day typing away at a novel. Amazingly, his boss encouraged him. I sat in a basement, mostly unsupervised, and this brilliant director once told my colleague, "The most important thing is that David finishes his novel." And I did. I was immensely grateful to him. I then moved off and worked in the city as a freelance copywriter, where things were much tougher and there was no indulgence of people sitting there writing, obviously. I was very, very lucky at that early stage. Today he works at the top of the house, in the attic rooms, over the hall from his wife's office, a book spilling out of the shelves onto the floor and stairs and any available surface. They're both at their desks by 9:30 a.m, but there are companionable breaks for lunch and coffee time, always at 3:30 p.m. Work is disciplined and productive. He'll work on a book for 4 days of the week with 1 day off, though inevitably that means journalism or another project. I can't multitask because I work quite quickly and I like to concentrate. It's tunnel vision. The short stories were a treat to himself between writing two non-fiction titles, he says, and for readers, Poppyland is a treat for us too. Poppyland is published by Salt and is priced at £9.99.